listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
2014 Cleveland Browns season tickets are on sale now. Secure the best seats at the best prices to cheer on your Cleveland Browns at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We got Megan Rock tweeting throughout the show. We'll have her read some of the tweets that you are sending in. We're getting some mixed reviews on the whole Derek Carr thought here. And look, it's news because he's the first guy that we know the Browns have taken the, quote, deeper interest because the general manager, Ray Farmer, was there to work him out. The head coach, Mike Pettine, was there to work him out. The offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, there, and he ran the workout, basically. And Dow Loggins, the quarterback's coach. So you had a full contingent, and it's really the first time that we know of that you had this, and the player, Derek Carr, the Fresno State, former Fresno State quarterback, went into some detail about it. And this is what he had to say about Coach Shanahan and the type of workout he was running.
You know, Coach Shanahan runs the workout, and so we do the, you know, we do their drills, and, you know, they really want to tire you out. So that when you're doing the individual drills, they really try and tire you out, you know, see how you're feeling, you know, really grind you a little bit, and then you go into throwing routes. You know, you throw routes and, you know, while you're tired, while like a football game.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. So you heard him say, Coach Shanahan was the specific goal, and teams, this is not just the way the Browns do it. This is a very methodical approach. Wear the player down a little bit. See what level of fatigue he reaches before you start to see it show up in the way he plays. The whole idea being, you're thinking about the fourth quarter. You're thinking about those late stages of the game, and especially with a quarterback, what kind of stamina does he show, not just physically but mentally? And this is why, too, at the combine, guys are put through the rigorous schedule of long days and late-night interviews, and they especially like to conduct those interviews at the later hours to see what kind of guy do they get in that room. When does he and then ask him the tough questions, and when do you cause that fuse to go down, and when do you hit that hot button that causes him to go off a little bit because of his fatigue?
That's one thing that I would expect him to actually do pretty well on, though, because he played in that spread offense where they were running like 90 to 105 plays a game
right
at Fresno State. Yeah. So hopefully that's one thing that he could handle and handle that kind of conditioning. He was also talking about the way that teams approach it, the cut-ups of the tape that they look at, asking him to do anything and trying to find out as much about him.
To draft a franchise quarterback, you should take every precaution and strategy that you can to see, you know, what these guys know about football.
And I like that he recognizes that, because you want to
put
through the paces, but also have an understanding of what it is that team wants to do with you on its actual team. It's not just to get the look-see, but what's the fit going to be like? And the other part about this I liked was that he talked about telling the Browns folks, do you have it all? Is there anything else I can do? Is there like more stuff? Because basically, and this is his same message to other teams that have worked him out, when you leave Fresno, we want you to leave knowing that I've shown you everything and maximize his chances. That's a smart guy. I mean, of course, Johnny Manziel realizes that. Teddy Bridgewater realizes that. I'm sure Blake Bortles realizes that. But there is a level of, I think, I just call it an adult presence that Derek Carr has, especially when it comes to communication, that I think matters. And I think it shows up not only in his dealings with teams in this situation, with the media, but also in the course of dealing with teammates. And this is the part that I don't know. What I'm not sure of is, where does that go from being the person who communicates well to the person who leads well? And I've got to know that he's a good leader, not only Carr, but any of these guys. Do you have a good leader? Do you have a good teammate? Do you have someone who gets it?
Right. That's a big, important question. It's part of the leadership thing that we talked about. Carr did let everybody in on who was there at the pro day workout.
Mr. Farmer, you know, Coach Pettine, Coach Shanahan, Coach Logan's, they're all out here. So it was good to, you know, be able to go to dinner with them last night and then, you know, work out for them today. And
Yeah, and dinner last night, that would have been Sunday night. And then
prior.
They worked out
right.
Monday.
Right. And, you know, that's good. That, those are the people that need to be there at this type of a workout, and I think that's going to be the contingent you see going around to these workouts. You know, when you look at a guy like Derek Carr and you watch him, he does so many things that are tantalizing, so many things that are going to be so good, and especially in a pro day environment, I think that's where he's really going to shine. My concerns with him are what he does when he breaks down and pressure around him, in the pass protection breaks down, his feet get awful, his footwork becomes terrible, he uses his arm, he does a lot of what I would call, to me, the guy that he reminds me the most of, two guys, Matt Stafford and Jay Cutler, but not as, his goods aren't as good as the Matt Stafford, Jay Cutler goods, although they are very good, but he's the bad of Matt Stafford, the things that make people in Detroit pull their hair out, or the things that make people get frustrated with Jay Cutler as their quarterback, he does those things, throwing off his back foot, relying on his arm, poor footwork in the face of pressure. Those are the things that concern me the most, because he's going to have to make a transition to that bang, bang, quick read, 50% of my passes are screens in this offense at Fresno State, to being a traditional quarterback in the National Football League, where you're going to have to take drops and you're not going to have the luxury of getting it out as quickly as you want. And I don't know how that translates for him.
I mean, I think that's the transition that most of these guys are going to have to make. I don't see too many of them, even though we talk about Teddy Bridgewater as being the, quote, most pro-ready just from the scheme from which he would come. But I think in general, you're looking at that type of thing in the vast majority of the quarterbacks in this particular class. And then it's up to Kyle Shanahan and Dowell Loggins, of course, to mold that quarterback into what you want.
Sure.
There's part of me that sees very much a Kirk Cousins-ish type of player in Derek Carr, and I think that's going to appeal to Kyle Shanahan. I don't know how much what he says in that room, I'm talking about the draft room, is going to register, but I would hope you listen to him. He's your offensive coordinator. He's the one who's got to build the offense around what the quarterback does. And to some degree, yeah, Brian Hoyer could fall into somewhat of that category of what Shanahan had in Washington and Cousins. But I think that's what Shanahan saw as maybe more of an ideal fit for what he wants to do offensively. It did not work out with Robert Griffin III, and I don't know that he's going to want that kind of player, the quarterback who is much more of the running and athletic ability to and less on the pocket presence and throwing and awareness and reads and all the things that I think he saw out of Kirk Cousins that ultimately led him to think that, on top of the fact that RG3 was hurt, that Cousins would be the better quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, in his mind, sure. I don't know that I agree with that, by the way. I happen to highly regard RG3's talent, and I'd like to see it come back for him. And there's some
thought
that, well, with Jay Gruden, that, you know, a whole different set of eyes and off season that he'll benefit from that. But as we stand here right now, just for as far as the Browns are concerned, you know, finding that right guy who can be sort of built into what they're looking for. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We would love to hear from you and your thoughts on Derek Carr. If you feel he's a guy you want to see in a Browns uniform, we also want those tweets from you, and it's at Browns_daily.
And I'd say this, coaching staff believes that the footwork issues that he has are correctable and that you can get him to be a little bit more fundamentally sound, the guy's got the best arm, I'd say, of any quarterback in this class.
Really good arm.
Unbelievable arm. He makes precision pinpoint throws when he does things the right way. There's a lot to like about Derek Carr, and if the team does go the direction of, say, a Sammy Watkins at four to get that playmaker, and you put Derek Carr back there and give him good protection with Watkins, with Gordon, with Hawkins, with Cameron, and Ben Tate in a running game, he's going to be successful.
I've asked coaches through the years about footwork, and just the mechanics in general, but footwork in particular. And is it fixable if a guy's got a serious footwork issue? And the reply I get almost always is, yes, we can do that. Now, coaches are confident. Coaches believe they can do anything. They can reclimate a problem child player. They can do different things to make players work for them where it hasn't worked elsewhere. And in a lot of those cases, unfortunately, it doesn't happen. But I think when it comes to mechanics and footwork, that's a teachable thing. And, you know, we saw it with this team. As much as we didn't see any result on the field, their ability to squeeze to maximize what they got out of those quarterbacks last year. North Turner, that was a credit to North Turner to be able to do that.
It was a credit to him, and that's what he's good at, and that's why
the footwork, shoulder placement. You saw him on a daily basis with all of them, with Brian Hoyer, with Brandon Whedon. I mean, whatever Brandon Whedon was or wasn't, that was squeezed by North Turner, and it was squeezed well. And I'll say that for Jason Campbell, as much as he's a longtime veteran, I think he too was a guy who benefited from that input. By the way, John in Dallas is on the line with us right now. John, what do we got?
Hey guys. Hey, I got two quick. Either.
We are here, John.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Cell phone. I want to comment on Carr, but I also want to comment on if you look at your draft board, don't look at the selection, but look where the Rams are sitting at 2, and we're at 4. I honestly believe we're going to flip with them because whoever the Rams take at 2, they're going to be able to get at 4. So why wouldn't they trade with us and get something? Because the same player is going to be there for the Rams at 4 if we trade with them. I want to hear your comments. Thanks, guys.
I don't know that. Why do you want to necessarily trade up to 2?
To 2. I know this team did the 4-3 thing, and in hindsight, I don't think that made much sense at all. And I know at the time what I was hearing. I was in New York, but all the buzz I was hearing from here in Berea was that it was just the not wanting the embarrassment of not getting the player they were intending to get in Trent Richardson, and I guess feeling and hearing some buzz around the league that someone would leapfrog them to get Richardson, which, again, looking back, I find hard to believe given the position and so forth. And I'm not even necessarily talking about what Richardson has done since leaving the Browns. But I don't know. I hear what's been said about Greg Robinson, for instance, being the most the safest pick, the best player overall in this draft. I've heard many a scout say that to me. And I guess I believe it because they're the ones studying all of the players and much more thoroughly than I am. And they're coming back with opinions that say, because I ask flat out, just tell me who the best guy is. And without hesitation, they'll say Greg Robinson. They'll say that ahead of Jadeveon Clowney. They say that ahead of Sammy Watkins. They don't, or Khalil Mack. They don't, and no quarterback gets referenced as a best player of the draft.
Is that because they feel that he is so safe given the position that he plays?
Safe and talented, and just quality. Everything about him physically, consistency. That's what keeps coming back, and the need is there for this team definitely to get tackle help. I don't disagree with that, or get line help, and then, you know, the prevailing theory of, well, get a tackle and kick Mitchell Schwartz inside or do something. But at the very least, you need one and probably two linemen. You need a tackle or a guard to come out of this draft to help this football team.
Yes. All right. Before we get to one more caller, let's let Derek Carr give his thoughts on his performance with the Cleveland Browns.
Everything went great. You know, it went exactly how we wanted it to. And now, you know, of course, we just wait till May and see how they're feeling.
That's good. And listen, I like the fact that it seems in keeping with the Browns' MO for this offseason approaching this draft, even Derek Carr doesn't really have any idea how the Browns truly feel about him. You got that sense right there.
Right.
But he was happy with what he did. No surprise. I think that's an environment that he's going to do well in, and he did. Apparently his pro day was great, and now this private workout with the Browns, at least in his mind, everything went great and went the way that he wanted it to. But you can't, in that environment, it is difficult to simulate the things and the areas where I believe Derek Carr struggled. It is easy, though, to become enamored with the things he does so well, which is the way that he throws that football down the field. Joe in South Carolina, welcome to CBD with Nathan and Vic.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I was going to kind of chime in from a caller last week, and I think it'd be a good idea for us to go ahead and get Sammy Watkins in 4th, pick up Derek Carr with a 26, and maybe draft Connor Shaw in the later round.
from Connor Shaw from South Carolina. I like Connor Shaw. I thought he was a little bit of a winner, kind of a guy that you could look at later. Of the later quarterbacks, my definite favorite is a guy like Aaron Murray. And I also think Taj Boyd's a guy who's getting overlooked as well. And if you're going with like a developmental guy, why not take a shot on Taj Boyd?
I like Taj Boyd a lot. I've been on him for a while. We've talked about it, and we talked about him during the season.
Sure.
When we had these conversations late in the season when we started to think a little bit about drafting quarterbacks. And Boyd went in with, a higher stock before the end of the season, and then things kind of plummeted on him. But my feeling is he's a good, solid pick in that middle round area, and he might be the second quarterback I would take. I wouldn't necessarily I don't think he's someone you're taking anywhere near the first round or probably the second and maybe not even the third, but he's somewhere in between 3 and 4 where you feel you could get a safe player, smart guy, and a guy who does a lot of things. I know he'll probably get drafted in the top 5 and maybe even the top 3 or 4, but I'm getting a little uncomfortable about the thought of Sammy Watkins being taken that high. The more I watch and the more I talk with folks who say, first of all, go back to the theory of you're going to grab a receiver that high, are you getting Calvin Johnson? You're going to grab a receiver that high, are you getting Larry Fitzgerald? You're going to grab a receiver that high, are you getting Josh Gordon? I don't feel as confident about that play, that comparison today as maybe I did a little earlier. Clearly, I think you could make the argument he is the best of what's available in what is considered a very receiver-rich draft.
Yep.
But is he so good that I want to put a number 4 on him overall? Because doing that absolutely means he is in contention for your number 1 spot. Even though we know Josh Gordon's the number 1, but he, when it comes to camp, you should be able to start watching this player, and you and I are on the sidelines, and saying, Josh Gordon still looks great. This guy looks like he's right there with him. That's got to come out of your mouth. You got to say he's right there with him. And if you're saying, nope, he's struggling to get off the line, nope, he's sort of okay, but he just doesn't make you think of Josh. There's the standard of spectacular,
of
Calvin Johnson-esque type of play, and I know Josh did that in one season, but that we know what that looks like. Does this guy look like that? I'm not entirely convinced to say I want to invest a fourth overall pick there, even though somebody will probably make him a top fiver.
Sure. And listen, a lot of it is projecting. How do you project him to develop at that next level? And I remember sitting there at training camp last year, and I know people got sick of hearing it, but I thought Josh Gordon looked like a different level athlete out there with everybody else on the field. He seemed like he was a different kind of guy.
And I got to tell you, you weren't at camp the year before, but he was showing those flashes as a rookie, flashes. He was doing it more consistently in the second camp, and it was still coming on early like he wasn't coming back for the ball. Those were of the comments early on in this past camp, but then everything started to come together. You could see the lights were going on.
Yeah, you could see it, and boy, did the lights go on. All right, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram with us when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.